Kent, maybe I can clarify things. There's actually two lines for central services. One is expenses and one is income. And the expenses is broken out by station.
Okay, there we go. Okay, you're right. Okay. Okay,
are there any more questions?
There on page 19. I see it. Okay.
Are there any more questions for Grant on question 6?
Okay, so if there's no other questions, question 7 is with respect to note 11, commitments and contingencies, and it's on page 16, it's on page 15 of the report, and there's disclosure of $715,000 in settlements that have been accrued, and the question is whether or not we can provide backup documentation, and yes, we have the support behind the $715,000. We can provide a schedule with those amounts, and those amounts were based off primarily responses from the attorneys.
Okay, I'd appreciate seeing that. Thank you.
Okay.
Any additional questions?
Okay, so next question is question 8. And it's on, with respect to page 16, and subsequent events. There's a couple parts of this question. One is, in the draft that you have, there's disclosure of an unaudited operating loss of $592,000. The question is whether or not that amount is accurate. So based on your questions and after Raul and I talked, there's enough uncertainty surrounding the projected 2014 loss that we decided to remove that number. So that's one of the changes that you'll see in the revised draft that I'll send out, is we won't disclose what the projected operating loss is because there's certain entries that haven't been booked yet.
This is Kim.
You have the floor, Kim.
Okay, I don't understand that, Grant. maybe you can say it again.
Sure.
What's the $529,000?
Yeah, so it's on page 16. It's in note 13, subsequent events. And then there's disclosure that for fiscal 2014, Pacifica is projecting an unaudited operating loss of $592,000.
Okay, I'm on 16. Here's subsequent events.
Your report might say $315,000.
What? Oh, what?
It's at the bottom of the page, Kim.
I don't see a $592,000.
Does yours say $315,000?
Yes.
Okay, so that was another change that we made. I don't think we're looking at the same report. But regardless, that's a number that was based off preliminary P&L reports for Pacifica. But after talking through with Raul, there's enough uncertainty that we don't feel comfortable disclosing what that projected loss is, so we will remove that amount on your financial statements.
Okay.
So we just haven't, there's certain entries that need to be made that haven't been made yet that will significantly impact what that projected loss will be. So it's not accurate to disclose what that amount is. We will be removing that in the next version of your financial statements.
I have another question.
Sure.
Isn't this somewhat unusual anyways to do this for 2014? I mean, first of all, KPFK has no general ledger for the majority of the year. There are several hundred thousand dollars expenses that have not been booked yet as accrual because most of them haven't been paid. So I don't even know why you're projecting 2014. I just don't understand that.
Well, the initial reason for disclosing that is, it's a subsequent event note, and the readers just want to have current information. So we disclose that just to disclose to the reader what the projected unaudited loss of 2014 would be, but you know, based on, like I said, further discussion, that number isn't accurate enough for us to report, so it will be removed.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure. Thanks.
Anybody have additional questions on question 8? Grant, should we move on to the questions that were posed by Robert Mark in the second email? I'm sorry.
Oh, was this about the accrual of, didn't this have the accrual of Democracy Now in there? Was that part of that question?
Yes. So the question is Democracy Now included as an accrued expense for the above? If it was accrued for fiscal year 2013, shouldn't it also be accrued for 2014?
Right.
So the answer to that question is it does not yet include the Democracy Now! Expense for 2014. And the reason for that is management and Democracy Now! Started the negotiation process, but it's still ongoing. So an accurate estimate of what that expense for 2014 would be, we don't have that estimate yet, so it hasn't been booked yet, but it will be booked once we start the 2014 audit.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks.
So that's one of the reasons why it's not accurate to disclose what any projected loss will be.
Right, okay, thanks.
Okay. So any other questions before we move on to the next set of questions from, I believe it's
Robert Mark.
Robert Mark. Okay, so if everyone can open that email that Fred sent out, I think we've answered most parts of the question already.
I'm satisfied that we've addressed the bulk of the email. The only part that I want to address now is the 2013 audit supplemental pages reflect a deferred income for KPFT in the amount of $48,571. First of all, I'd like to know if you recall what that is, since we're the only one that has one. And then
that's
secondly,
from Rice University.
I'm sorry? Oh, the Rice University contract? Okay, that was my best guess. So, and then why is it a liability as opposed to an asset?
Well, it's a liability and an asset. So you've already received the cash from Rice University, but you haven't earned all of it yet. So you're holding the cash as an asset, and the net is under the contra account is a liability, and the liability being amortized into revenues throughout the year as you earn it.
Okay, well, there was a lump sum payment at first.
Right.
And then there was a monthly payment, and we're still getting the monthly payments, but this is the unearned portion of the lump sum.
Exactly.
Okay. And then one final question. Would the auditor please define clean audit?
Yeah, so it's an unmodified opinion, and which means that based on the results of our audit, we provide assurance that your financial statements that were prepared by management under the oversight of the audit committee can be relied upon.
Thank you.
So we issue what's called an unmodified opinion, meaning our opinion is not modified for any other matters. Okay. So I think we covered all of the questions that were emailed out by Robert Mark and Fred Blair. If there's any other questions from the audit committee, I'm more than happy to answer those questions now.
Okay. We can create a stack at this point for people to ask questions, those who want to actually ask questions.
Yeah. Donald Goldmacher, I want to ask questions.
Okay. Donald, I've got you. Anybody else? Well, Donald, you have the floor.
I guess I do. First question is, the prior auditor to Armanino, I believe it was year 2011, because you guys did 2012, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So in 2011, the auditor at that time, in their letter, said that they were deeply concerned about the viability of the network organization and its ability to survive. Now, since that time, if I follow the numbers correctly, the numbers have gotten worse for the network in terms of going deeper into debt. And I'm wondering why. I'm wondering whether you intend to issue a similar statement with regard to the 2013 audit.
So we won't issue a going concern opinion. A going concern opinion is when the auditor feels that there's significant doubt as to whether or not the organization can survive for another year. So we won't issue that extreme of a going concern opinion, but what we do have in your financial statements is a liquidity note that discloses the financial condition of the organization and the fact that the organization has a net deficit and has accumulated operating losses over the past several years, and that management needs to reduce costs and increase revenues in order to maintain the sustain the viability of the organization. So we do have that note on page 10. That's note 3. And I also want to point everyone to page 2 of the audit opinion. Now, I'm not sure which version of the draft was sent out to you, but the latest draft that was disseminated, that draft also includes an emphasis of a matter paragraph. It's on the bottom of page 2. And what that emphasis of a matter paragraph does is it points the reader to note 3. It's not a going concern opinion, as I mentioned. The going concern opinion is where we express our significant doubt as to whether or not the organization can continue operations. So it's not that opinion, but we do include an emphasis of a matter where we highlight a particular note that we feel the reader should pay more attention to, that we feel is important to the financial statements. And we do include that, and that points the reader to note 3, where we disclose the liquidity of the organization.
Okay, now my follow-up question is, you haven't looked at the 2014 numbers yet.
Have not.
Right, so we don't know yet whether 2014 shows us a worse number or not.
Donald, it's very hard for us to hear what you're saying. Your voice level is so low. Can you try and boost that up a little bit?
Yeah, let me try again. What I'm asking is if you have any awareness of what the 2014 even preliminary numbers look like and whether that's worse than 2013. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear that?
Chair heard it.
Yeah, I mean, the response to that is, that's correct. We have not looked at the 2014 numbers, and we don't know what the financial position of the organization is will be at 2014.
Okay. All right. I have another question, but I'll wait.
Aglet for the stack. Everybody, there's complete silence at this point. I don't know what.
Fred, you know, is this Lawrence?
Yes, Lawrence.
So I don't know who's talking because I got on the phone late. Can you tell me who's responding to the questions, please?
Well, we have Raul from the CFO from Pacifica Management. We have Grant Lamb from Armamino, representing Armamino on the audit, and we have about 10 members of the audit committee present on the phone line. We went over the
basically summarizing, we went over, there was two emails that was I sent out and yesterday with questions, and Grant has gone through those questions and answered them in detail. So now we're to general questions that any member of the audit committee can put to the auditor at this point in time.
And there's been several requests for additional support and schedules for some of the items, which Raul and I will work on to get back to the audit committee. And there, and I will revise the draft for some of the matters that were brought up and send out a revised draft to the audit committee.
Can I, Lauren, to the staff?
Okay, why don't you have the floor?
Okay, so the question that that I'd like to ask is, in regards to cutting expenses, you say from the 2013 audit, if I heard you correctly, that part of what resulted was that it was determined that management, that the foundation has to cut expenses and increase revenue. Do you have any numbers in regards to where the expenses are going to be cut and where the revenue will likely come from? Is that within your sphere?
I think that question would be better asked towards management. Based on preliminary reports of 2014, the increase in revenues primarily are from listener support and donations. And I would have to pull up the reports to determine what the budgeted decreases in expenses are coming from. The management has gone through a detailed budget for 2014 and for 2015 to return the organization back to profitability.
Is that Raul speaking?
This is Grant.
Oh, okay. Raul, thank you.
Chair, may I ask if Raul could be to that before we move on?
Sure. We have presented to the, we have provided Armanino the financial initiatives that the PNB, the NFC recommendation, upon the NFC recommendation, some of the initiatives that Pacifica has implemented or has been approved. And based on that, Armanino reviewed that, and that we have a financial plan to augment or cover what seems to be some shortfall into our current operations.
Okay, but Chair, may I follow up briefly?
I'm sorry?
May I follow up briefly, Chair?
Yes.
So, what I still don't hear is where, if any place, expenses are being looked at to be cut, for lack of a better word.
The specific expenses are not detailed yet, but I believe the PNB has passed some motions for KPFK and KPFA, and Pacific Radio Archives and WBAI to come out with cost-cutting measures that ranges from $250,000 and above, but no specific cuts yet, or no specific items or categories where these cuts are going to be, and they're supposed to be presented to the PNB soon.
Thank you.
Robert Mark Stack.
Robert, you have the floor.
Yes. If I could just, again, call your attention to page 18, help me understand this. On the assets and liabilities, as far as these now interdivisional receivables and interdivisional payables, on the second to the last column on the right, there's the eliminations. And so that when you get over the totals, those lines are zero. But as you go down the page, those numbers are included in the determination of total net assets and total assets. And I'm curious as to why that is, what the philosophy behind that is. If it's eliminated on the one hand, as why is it still in the formulary to figure out the bottom line?
Well, it's just the mechanics of that. So you, I guess you eliminate it at the interdivision receivable line item, but those numbers are still included in the total assets line item. So you include it as well down below to eliminate the 6081.
It's still, I still don't understand, but I'll try and figure it out, not waste any more of your time.
I mean, just look at the national division column, and the interdivision receivable is $4.6 million. That $4.6 million is also included in the $4.7 million for total assets under national division.
Where is this? What line?
I'm looking at the national division column.
Okay.
So
national
total
division.
Yeah. Right. So interdivision receivable for national division is $4.6 million.
$4.6. I see $4.7. Oh, 4.6, okay, total,
right.
Okay.
So that 4.6 is included as part of the total assets of $4.7 million, right?
Okay.
So you want to sum across all the total assets of all the divisions, you have to take back out the interdivision receivable. It's just the mechanics of how the schedule works to properly eliminate the interdivision receivables and payables.
But then you come up with 3.659.
Yes, which does not include the interdivision receivable. If we didn't take out the $6 million, then it would be grossed up for the interdivision receivable.
This is Raul. Just a little bit.
Yeah, poor Raul.
The elimination is a method of offsetting the receivable within each unit of Pacifica. And so it's just offsetting the receivable versus the payables. Therefore, the financial statement taken as a whole reflects no receivable or no liability to each other unit of Pacifica. So that's why the total of the last column reflects only the financial statement taken as a whole as a consolidated number. And that numbers, the intercompany receivable and payables have been eliminated or offset against each other.
Any additional questions?
I would point out that those numbers are in fact included. If you add up all the columns on the bottom line, you're adding back in all of those interdivisional payables and receivables. And so they are included in the total number in the lower right-hand column.
They are included in the totals for each of the division, but not on the total columns because they've been eliminated.
Any other questions? In determining the net assets and the assets of each division, and also the central office. And at the bottom, a figure of net assets is calculated using that number. It's not eliminated on that line. And so when you add up all those numbers on the bottom line, those numbers are included to get the number that is the total in the lower right-hand column.
Which line are you referring to?
On page 20.
Page 20?
Which I have to get back to. the eliminations column eliminates it from going into the total on the non-current assets line. And it eliminates it from going into the total on the non-current division, interdivision payables line. Mm-hmm. But as you add the columns going north and south, those numbers are included in that calculation, which
yes.
means that when you take the bottom line and you add those numbers together, that number is included in that calculation to get $3,659,606.
It is included, and we also take it out under the eliminations column for total assets. So if you add up the various columns, it is included. You're right. That's why we include the eliminations column for total assets of $6 million to take it back out.
Okay.
So at the end of the day, there's no interdivision receivable, there's no interdivision payables within your net number.
I see it now.
Okay. Any other questions or comments?
Committee is being very. Are the committee satisfied at this point?
Chair, this is Lawrence to the stack.
Yes, Lawrence.
So I heard the mention of liquidity. Is liquidating part of the is that part of the compensation in regards to cutting expenses and being able to use a liquid asset to cover that?
Grant, do you want to answer that? Liquidity normally refers to freely available cash.
Right.
Based on my understanding, I do not believe it is management's plan to liquidate assets to create more cash flow. I think management's plan is primarily based on increasing revenues and taking cost-cutting measures where reasonable. The liquidity note is more pointing to the fact that the organization is not very liquid right now, and measures need to be taken to increase or to improve the liquidity of the organization.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Carolyn on the stack here, please.
Carolyn, you have the floor.
Thank you. We have several questions outstanding at this point, what KPFT owes and so on and so forth. Can we have a date by which the Armenino itself and CFO will be able to respond to all these queries? I think that would be really helpful to us. Thank you.
Respond to what questions? The questions that were discussed earlier?
I didn't hear what you said, Grant.
I just wanted to clarify what the request was that was just brought up.
Carolyn, could you restate your question? Hello?
I think she got cut off. But what she was asking, sorry, this is Brenda, is that when would you expect Grant for Armenino to respond to some of the questions that were not answered today?
Let me see. Some of those questions we have responses for. I can get back to you in the next couple of days. Some of the other questions I need to work with Raul to figure out to prepare those schedules. I don't know what your schedule is, Raul. I know you're out of town in Southern California now. But I don't want to speak for you, and you can work with me to get that information out. But, you know, this is a priority for me, so I will do whatever I can to get it out to you timely.
Okay. What was that request? I did not understand. I'm sorry, Brenda. What was that?
Yeah, there's a few other additional schedules that the audit committee wanted to see, you know, for example, what's the detail of the legal expenses, want to see detail of the KPFK personnel expenses, premiums expense by station, things like that I need your help, Raul, to pull the information from your general ledger.
Since Carolyn is not on the line, I think she was asking when do you think you will have that done for the committee to go over.
I can send you. I've taken notes, Raul, so I'll send you my notes on what the audit committee would like to see, and then maybe let me know what your best estimate is of when you can turn those around, and we'll get back to the audit committee.
All right.
This is Kim.
And this is Lawrence.
Kim, you have the floor. Yeah, I've got you, Lawrence. Kim, you have the floor.
I've also taken notes, Grant, so I can send you my notes, too, and we can make sure we're, you know, or I can send them to the whole audit committee, all of us, and make sure that we have everything.
That'd be good.
So, let me know, Chair.
Lawrence, you have the floor.
Thank you. I believe the other part of Carolyn's question was in regards to KPFT, and I believe there was some sort of, the question had referred to debt from KPFT. So I just wanted to add that.
Carolyn, if you could get back on the line, maybe you could clarify your question.
Sorry about that. Yes, I was knocked off. My question really refers to the deadline for all of these inquiries. When will we have a definitive answer that can help us answer this question?
Right, so for the questions that we haven't answered yet, I've taken a list where we'll send follow-up support for the schedules to provide more clarity to your questions. Raul and I will work together to pull that information and send it out to the audit committee. Raul is in Southern California this week, so I don't want to speak for him when I can say when he can get back to me, because I will need some of his help to pull that information together. So, sometime early next week, I would guess.
Yeah, that would be helpful. Yes, it's good to have a target date, but
This is all. I think we could address those one item at a time. We're going to look at each item and see there are some requests that may be readily available already, but there are some requests like, you know, the switch to, all this going back to the liability, the loans we need to get into. There's an intercompany receivable already done. The premiums have already been, we have schedules for those. But what I wanted the audit committee to realize is that these other requests are supplemental information that may or may not be available from the auditors, and may require the auditors some additional working hours that will be billed to the station at this point. Just wanted to make aware of that. There's also some items that, like I said, is not covered by the scope of the audit. The auditors.
They say that it's pretty straightforward, but you don't care right now.
Excuse me.
Who's speaking?
Sorry.
Can you mute?
They say, Jane, you need to mute yourself, Jane.
And
Jane.
So I think some of those information are readily available, but like what Grant said, we'll work on this coming week. We wanted to. I'm here at KPFK, and we're rectifying some of the information, so we'll be prepared for the 2014. I think we can move ahead with this. We'll provide you the information. But my question to the committee is that.
Excuse me, Chair.
Are those?
This is Orange Chair.
2 inches, adding resistance. I just had to unmute myself. There's
I can't hear what he's saying with the other background noise.
I know. We're all telling Jane to go on mute, but she's not hearing us.
It's the nature of these conference calls, Lawrence. I'm sorry.
What's up?
Jane. Jane, please mute.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we as early as next week, we'll probably tackle that. Whatever information that's readily available, we'll be able to forward. And some of the information that may need some a little bit of work, we will see what amount of time is going to be needed. If the auditor's time is needed, we'll take a look into that. Now, my question to the committee is that those information that you had requested, will that hold the approval of this audit report pending the revisions that Grant from the Armenino group will be revising, we agreed to revise, will that hold the approval of this until you guys get those reports? That's my question to the committee.
Carolyn on the stack here.
And then Cam.
Okay, Carolyn, mm-hmm. You have the floor.
Yeah, from my point of view, yes. I will really need answers to some of these questions. They're crucial, and perhaps we should have had the answers long before this from either our CFO or the auditors. I don't know who is responsible for notifying the board. But there's an awful lot of information that is very, very vague and not answered. So from my point of view, yes, it will hold up the audit. Thank you.
Cam, you have more. I'm sorry? Who wants, who's requesting?
Yeah, William for the stack.
And then, well, Cam was next, I believe.
Okay, Cam, you have it.
And Brenda for the stack.
And we'll, Brenda? Kim, you have the floor.
Well, first of all, it appears we don't even have the latest draft that's available. There appear to be two different drafts, and we don't even have the latest draft of the audit that we're looking at. So that's one thing, and I don't necessarily want to incur or cause to be incurred multiple extra charges, so I would like an idea of what can be easily sent to us and what will take X amount of time, and then we can determine based on that how important this information is to us. Because I can't say, well, don't do any extra work, or yes, we want everything done, until I understand, you know, if it's going to take an hour or, you know, a week of time. I don't know. But I would like to know what's easily available that we can get, you know, before I can make a decision.
This is Grant speaking. I think the majority of the requests are readily available. It can be produced fairly quickly. The only request that will take time is a reconciliation and accounting of the intercompany division payables and receivables.
Uh-huh. Well, but there should be at least something from the year 2013. And even 2012, you did 2012 as well. So those 2 years should be somewhat available.
Those 2 years, yes, those 2 years should be available.
Okay, well, that's good.
And to address someone's previous comment, I'm not sure which draft was disseminated to the audit committee. I'm fairly confident the draft you're looking at now is, if not the latest and greatest, there's not many changes from the latest and greatest version, but based on this call, I will be making a few edits to your financial statements. I will make those edits and send out a revised draft to the audit committee within the next day or two.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Grant. William, you have the floor?
Yes, thank you. I believe most of the information that we're looking for is not going to change the numbers that appear in the financial statements. It's mostly explanations. So I don't really see any reason for us to be holding back on accepting this audit. It's details that were missing, but the details aren't going to change the final numbers. It's just, oh, I get it now, whereas, you know, we can't see it readily right this minute, but with details we'll say, oh, I understand. It's not going to change the bottom line. It's not going to change details anywhere in the or summaries, whatever they are, in the financial statements. So I don't see the need to hold up for a week or two to make sure we get every single piece of information that somebody wants because they have an interest at their station, which they're entitled to have, for more information. But that should not hold up. It's just details, and it's not going to change the financial statements. I think we should approve the or accept the statements. Thank you.
Thank you,
and I'd
William,
like to thank Raul. One more. I'd like to thank Raul and the audit firm for getting the work done on what was an inherited mess. Thank you.
Brenda, you have the floor.
I ditto those sentiments. I would request of the committee that we go ahead and approve the audit pending the final draft that's sent to Armenino, because there is a lot of things pending on us approving this audit, one of them being to move on to the 2014 audit, which the fiscal year is almost done. We're finishing the fiscal year 2015 fairly soon, so I would hope that this committee could go ahead and move forward in getting the 2013 audit approved.
I second the motion.
This is Kim.
Who seconded?
Donald.
Thank you, Donald. Kim, you have the floor.
Well, I'm not going to approve it because I do need to see the current draft, a final draft, number one. Number two, I do want to see these supporting documents, especially since they are available. And number three, I want to see the management letter. And generally, my understanding is this does not get approved until we have the management letter. So I'm going to make a substitute motion that we schedule another meeting within, you know, a week or so and have all this material and the final draft, and then we approve it.
Oh, thank you. I will second that motion.
Substitute
mm-hmm.
motion. Okay.
And Carolyn, I'd like to speak to that if we're taking comments.
Carolyn, I guess you have the floor, Carolyn.
Thank you. I think it's really important that before we approve an audit that we have all the information we need. I realize there's a question of what we need and what should be done right now, but there's no point. It's counterproductive to approve an audit that we don't have complete information on. So I would urge people to do the right thing and not approve the audit until we have the supplementary information that has been requested. It's kind of important. Thank you.
This is Kim.
Yes, Lawrence, I've got you. Kim, you're after Lawrence.
No, so I heard Lawrence. Jane Gatewood, so Jane can go, and then I'll go after Jane.
And Donald for the stack.
Okay, so... I'll put Jane after Lawrence and Donald. Okay, Lawrence, you have the floor.
This is a question to, I don't know if his name is Brad or Lam. I apologize for chopping up the name. But are you saying that there's nothing that's going to be prohibited and damaging to the foundation if we approve this audit? And are you recommending approval of the audit?
Well, I guess I can't recommend the approval of the audit. That would be something the audit committee does. But I will set a revised draft of the financial statements. I think the audit committee should at least see the revised draft. I think there'll be enough changes to the financial statements where it makes sense for you to see the revised draft. I'll send that over to you the next day or two. And then most of the other questions and requests can get to by the end of the week. I don't think the additional request is necessary for you to approve of the draft. I think you should at least see the latest and greatest revised draft before you approve of the financial statements. And that will be sent to you within a day or two.
Thank you.
Okay. This is the chair. I was cut off, so I didn't hear what was said for about a minute. So.
Okay, well, Lauren spoke, so Jane has a question next.
And, okay, Jane,
and
you have
the auditor just said that he would recommend basically that we wait to see the final draft before recommending it. So,
okay. Thank you, Kim. Jane, you have the floor.
I'm sorry, I passed. Go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, Donald, you have the floor then.
Right. Despite what Grant just said, the numbers are not going to change. The details may fill in some of the questions raised tonight, but the overall numbers are not going to change, and I think we should move forward by approving the audit and voting no on the substitute motion that's on the floor right now.
Okay.
This is Kim. I'm next.
You have the floor, Kim.
As a director, I cannot approve this without getting the information requested. And if the auditor says wait until the final draft, I'm going to wait until the final draft, number one. Number two, I want to see the management letter. And number three, regarding the 2014 audit, I'm a little confused about how that can proceed. And I know this isn't, this is sort of changing the subject, but my understanding is we don't have a signed engagement letter from Armanino, and they're not actually available until May if they were going to want to do another year of Pacifica. So I'd like to get some clarity on how we're going to even start the 2014 audit. And besides which, KPFK does not have a general ledger yet for 2014. So KPFK cannot start an audit. Maybe Raul knows how quickly it's going, but we got almost a year's worth of stuff to enter in there. So KPFK is not ready. So maybe Grant can give us some idea of 2014 audit.
Pete for the stack.
And Jane Gatewood also, again, thank you.
I'm sorry, that was Pete?
Point of information, Chair?
Pete and then Jane.
Okay, Jane, I've got you. Okay, Grant, do you want to respond?
Sure. I think our first focus should be on getting 2013 completely wrapped up. And to tell you the truth, I'm not even thinking about 2014 yet, and just given how long it's taken us to complete 2012 and 13 and the significant amount of cost that we've incurred, I would highly encourage, and I wouldn't want to start 2014 unless you guys are 100% ready for us to come out there and start. I don't want to encounter a situation as we did in previous years where we come out and start the audit and a significant amount of requests aren't ready or there's significant entries that still need to be posted. So I will work with Raul and with Efren and with the rest of management to really assess when you truly will be ready, and that's the date that we will start the audit. I wouldn't want to start the audit when KPFK trial balance isn't completely ready and other stations may not be ready as well. I just don't think it's an efficient process for us to start the audit when all the reconciliations aren't completed.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Grant.
Maria Elena, understand.
Point of information, Chair, to Leader.
I'm sorry, what's your point of information, Lawrence?
Yes, I understand that the auditor is not thinking that it's appropriate to approve the audit, the 2013 audit. But he's also, I believe, he also said that we could still move ahead and improve it because there's not going to be any differences in the numbers, right? Is that correct?
That's not my understanding what the auditor said.
I'm asking the auditor.
Do you want to respond, Grant?
Sure. So I don't anticipate any changes to the numbers, but there will be changes to the disclosures. And I think the audit committee should see what those changes are to the disclosures before you approve of the financial statements. One item that I'll be changing is I'll be changing a subsequent events note, and I'll also be adding a disclosure to show the premiums expense by station. So I'll be making those two changes. I'll send out the revised draft of the financial statements, and I'll do that within the next day or two. But I do not anticipate any changes to the final numbers.
Thank you, Grant.
Point of information, Carolyn here.
What's your point of information, Carolyn?
Is there any... we haven't seen a management letter, and I think it's really important to see that before we even begin to approve an audit. We had several problems, and we need to see how the management letter is going to address those problems. So I'd urge people to wait until we get the management letters, as well as the changes that we've requested.
You're out of order.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn. Pete, you have the floor.
Thank you.
Point of information, Maria Elena.
What's your point of information, Maria Elena?
Would the auditor who's on the line now please clarify again, what is he referring to the 2012 audits as on-site audits of the five Pacifica stations? Because you know that no on-site audit has ever been conducted of all five stations in the same year. Would he please clarify that?
Are you talking about the 2013 audit, which we're going over the 2012?
Yes, I was referring to his 2012 reference.
Grant, do you want to...
Your question with respect to 2012? I guess I'm not certain what your question is.
Were those on-site audits of which Pacifica stations?
I'm not entirely certain. I wasn't involved in the 2012 audit.
Because to my knowledge, no on-site audit has been conducted at KPFT during the past 5 or 6 years.
I believe our on-site field work has always occurred at the Berkeley location.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria Elena. Pete, you got the floor.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to begin by just thanking Grant and Raul. As has been noted before, we have just years upon years of, coups and counter-coups, and with that comes files getting less than perfect. And this is a big step forward for us, and I appreciate all the work that's been put into it, as well as dealing with Pacifica, which I'm sure presents a unique set of headaches on top of headaches. I can't remember who it was a couple of speakers ago who said that, since the numbers aren't going to change much, that we could move forward with this. And let's be clear, no matter where we get, there's going to be people who oppose because it's Pacifica. There's going to be opposition no matter where we are. So I would vote, I'll be voting against the amendment, and I'd be in favor of the underlying motion to move forward with this if others are. But the main point I wanted to say is I feel like we're getting more serious and our numbers are more solid and a heck of a lot better, and based on years of having less than perfect records, this has been no small task, so I appreciate it, and I feel like it's a move in the right direction. Thanks.
Thank you, Pete. Jane, you have the floor.
Thank you. I mostly would like to echo Pete and other people's remarks about this. I think that while Grant's concern that we have the final product in front of us before we approve it is technically very proper, and I greatly appreciate that. I think that given the timing of everything, I think it's important for us to vote this. Even if it's a provisional approval, I think that that's fine. I just would like to see that original motion be approved. If some amendments are required, fine. But I think that we are scheduled to meet again in 2 weeks, and I would hope that in 2 weeks we could expect to have that management letter and perhaps change that to an executive session so that we can discuss the management letter in addition to the final audit. Giving a provisional approval tonight with the understanding that these additional schedules are going to be provided, I believe is the proper thing for this committee to do. We, as an organization, get so bogged down in the timing of meetings and everything. I would like that affirmative vote to occur tonight, even if some kind of amendments are required. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. Maria Elena, you have the floor.
My only concern was that, as I mentioned earlier on, there's been no on-site audit during the past, and it's been more than 6 years, my knowledge. But as far as personal knowledge goes, I think that has been the source of a great deal of misunderstandings around the inflow and outflow of our budget. In any event, I would not be able to really address a final approval of anything until we carry that out. And I know that other stations in some cases have had more than one audit, on-site audit, done within the past 5 or 6 years. But this is there's a big gap in some of the numbers, and I won't go into it in detail, but I think only an on-site audit can really, clear that up. Eyeballing the books to find out exactly what are the revenue sources and quantities and what are the ongoing costs, especially around staffing and health costs and the outgoing expenditures.
This is Kim. I have a question.
Okay. Kim, you have the floor.
This is a question for, I guess, Raul. Is there some urgency that I'm unaware of why this audit needs to get approved today as opposed to in a week or even 2 weeks? I mean, my understanding is the DNO is not dependent on this. We're not starting 2014 audit anytime soon. So, I mean, of course, we'd like to have an audit approved, but other than that, what is the urgency that a week or two delay will affect?
Okay. There are several things that can be affected by the delay of this audit report. Number one, Kim, you are very aware that the DNO insurance is not going to be approved until we get the final audit, which expires today. That's March 15th. I thought it was March 15th. That's expiring on March 15th. And we're also getting some questions about the audit. So once we submit it, on the 15th, we have submitted before, a few days before, because if they have any questions about it, then we'll be able to respond to it prior to the renewal. Secondly, the audit 2014, just because KPFK records is not ready yet, but all the other stations are ready to start the reconciliation. And with reconciliation, we really need to finalize the audit so that the 2013 numbers will roll over to the 2014 in our Great Plains accounting system. If we do not do that, then we have no basis for reconciliation. We could not generate trial balance for the asset accounts. We cannot generate balance sheet accounts, balance sheet report. That would be a hardship. That would delay the 2014. And we know that 2013 is way, way late. And the CPB obviously is not looking forward to the 2013 because that's not going to be probably the determining factor whether we're going to be
reinstated or not reinstated. It's going to be the 2014, because this is the 2014 would be our last chance to see that we are in compliance with generating the audit report and the AFRs by May, so that we have a chance to be reinstated with the CPB.